Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Me?
Yes.
Blessed Lord above. We can
Okay, I
hear
think we
each
got it figured
other.
out. Yes.
Rick would tell me that there is no God, and it's better to just rip that band-aid off now. He says that to Summer in this first episode.
That is true. I rewatched it earlier today, and that is word for word what he says.
Well, let's introduce ourselves in the show. I'm
Yes.
Emily Loveless. I'm one sister co-host.
And I am Maddie Dore, and I am the other sister co-host.
Woohoo! And this podcast is called I Turned Out TV. It's a podcast about TV where we talk about TV and how it raised us by the warming glow of TV's glowing warmth. We were nurtured. We suckled at its nothing. We didn't suckle. We no one's suckling. Yeah, and we're starting out this brand new, amazing, wonderful, should be fun podcast with Rick and Morty, one of the greatest TV shows ever.
Yeah, I was gonna
It's
say of our generation, but I think you're right. I think ever.
yeah, okay, at least of our generation. We're not the same generation though. I'm a
Yeah,
lot older than you.
that's true. But of the millennium.
It's a figure of speech. Yeah. Okay. All right. Great. I love this show. You love this show. To be perfectly clear, this is our second attempt. Our first attempt ended too soon. It was taken too soon from us. So now it's time for us to recreate our banter. Hey, Maddie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well, besides all the people outside trying to enjoy the sunshine for whatever reason. I don't know, because it's Oregon and we only get sun 3 months out of the year, but yeah.
Hey man, it's sunny here and I'm inside, so what's their excuse?
Don't know. Well, how are you doing, Emily?
I'm good. I'm wearing overalls today and they keep giving me a wedgie. I need to loosen the straps. That's the solution. Science. Genius. Today is 420, I realized. And that probably means something in Oregon.
Yes, it does. That is a very significant holiday because marijuana is legal here and
Yeah.
everyone is out celebrating. They went hard for Good Friday at church. They're going to go hard for 420 today, and then they're going to be back in church tomorrow.
Sandwich their sin with some God. Tasty. It's like a layer cake. It's good. It's all good.
Oh boy.
Oh boy, LA. Oh no, one of my children is breaking into my bedroom. Bye. I'm recording a podcast. I love you. I have two children. One is almost 14 and one is almost 5, and the 5-year-old is just smiling at me because he
No.
knows he's not supposed to be in here when mom records podcasts. So, Maddie, what is this show about?
The TV show Rick and Morty?
Yeah. Or
Yeah.
our show. Both shows. No,
Okay.
we know what our show's about. What's the TV show about?
Yes. So, oh, I can hear Sally on the other end.
I really wish he would Hey buddy. Oh, he's gonna be silly. Okay, talk to me while he talks over here. Oh no. Okay, we're gonna take a quick commercial break and we'll be back.
All right. Are we back? All right.
Oh man, sorry. This has been a lot of false starts for this episode. Hopefully, future episodes are a little smoother. But okay, we're back. And wasn't that a great ad for Anchor? Love Anchor. And now, back to describing this show. How would you describe this TV show, Maddie?
Yes. Okay, so I do know that the pilot episode of Rick and Morty was originally intended to be a one-off parody of Back to the Future, which makes a lot of sense because Morty's name is very close to Marty. And Rick's hair is exactly that of Doc Brown's. It just you can see the parallels, and the way that the first episode is different from the rest of them, it doesn't seem like something that would be a one-off, but you can tell how it's more of a parody of that movie rather than a show in itself, if that makes sense.
It does. Without knowing that, it just kind of it so without knowing that it's supposed to be a parody of Back to the Future, when you watch the pilot and you watch the rest of the series, it does seem just like kind of the awkwardness and oddity of a pilot. You know, most pilots are a little different from the show, right? So without knowing that, it just seems like that's the situation. But knowing that, even like Rick talks to Morty a lot. He addresses him as Morty so often. Morty, 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 Morty. It's very much like Marty, 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 Doc Brown. So, yeah, that makes sense. That's interesting. Was it supposed to just air on Adult Swim, or where was it supposed to be?
Yeah, that's to my knowledge, it was just supposed to be on the internet and on Adult Swim, just airing this parody. And I guess the concept for it originally, that's what like before it even aired as its own thing, they kind of took it and ran with it as a show.
Well, I'm so glad they did.
Yes.
I like that in typical Dan Harmon is one of the showrunners. It's Dan Harmon and Justin something.
Justin Roiland
Roiland, yeah. Who voices Rick, right?
and Morty.
And Morty? I didn't know that.
Rick and Morty are the same guy.
That's really gonna disturb the way I consume this show now. I'm upset. Okay, but Dan Harmon, his style is very self-referential and meta and fourth wall breaking in his other productions. And I like that we get that kind of right out of the gate with Gary saying that, you know, Morty doesn't have time for like these high concept sci-fi rigmaroles, you know? It's like, yep, that's the show, right? Yep. So I like that. I like that the show tells us what it is.
Oh, and yeah, to finish explaining the premise of the show, I'm sure most people, well, most people of a certain age probably are already aware of what this show is about. But essentially, Rick Sanchez is Morty Smith's grandpa. They live together. Rick has just moved back into
I know there's no God because our recording keeps getting interrupted, and I don't know of any God who would allow this kind of bullshit.
well, where did we leave off?
Rick just moved back into the Smith household.
After being gone for a very, very long time. And I guess you can kind of tell from the way he interacts with Beth that he's really been absent from their lives. It's not like he has lived elsewhere, but he's come back to the household, and apparently has been going on all sorts of interdimensional adventures with his grandson Morty, sort of under his parents' noses. And they just go on all these adventures, and each episode is kind of a little different with a unique arc of all sorts of weird sci-fi stuff. But instead of it being typical sci-fi, oh, I don't know, how would you describe it? Like sort of romp and adventure and that sort of thing. It really tailors in a lot of that metafiction, that self-reference, the it really makes fun of the sci-fi genre, and it also just depicts some really like just unfortunate accidents and dysfunctional relationships. So it's not a fun sci-fi show.
Yeah, it gets really dark without resolving some of the the situations in a pleasant way that, like, it, like later in the episode, a lot Morty kills a lot of people. Well, not people, aliens, right? And it's not like a ha-ha, they were evil and deserved to die. You're just left with like, oh, Jesus, that was a person, kind of, right? So,
yeah.
It's not a super fun sci-fi show. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting for sure, and I really enjoy it, but I mean, the main reason that I personally enjoy it is because it is so metafictional and nihilistic. It's super nihilistic.
Oh.
That's Rick's whole MO, is just nothing matters, God is dead, that whole sort of philosophy.
Well, yeah, and it makes sense when you get further into the series and you see all of the Ricks and all of the Mortys, and eventually, you know, Rick and Morty jump into their lives in a different dimension, a different set of the Smith family. And it's like, how would you not be nihilistic at that point? Like, I guess this is my sister. It's my sister from a different dimension, you know?
Well, and they make a point of that, like, throughout the whole show, not just season one, but of, you know, why would I care about anything? There are infinite dimensions, infinite universes to which I could travel and just replace my family, replace anything I've ever cared about, to maybe a slightly different degree, but not so much so that it really matters.
Yeah, that summer is still summer, for all intents and purposes, right?
Yeah, like everything we've done together up to this point is still exactly the same. So we'll just replace the family.
Yeah, exactly. I really like the depiction of a scientist as given by Rick Sanchez, because he's not Dr. Rick Sanchez, you know? He's just like, it's all about the science and all about his projects and experiments, and it's not about his degree of notoriety or visible success, you know? And like, I don't think that's something that's like, it's like science purely for the science, right? We're going to do all kinds of science stuff. He literally says this.
Well, I mean, and in the first episode, like, they go through how much just for his research, like, you know, I, not to give too much away, but they have to sneak something through intergalactic customs, and they, and like you said, they go on a rampage to try and get away, and like, just for the sake of Rick's science.
Just for the sake of Rick's science. Like, literally, Marty, I keep calling him Marty. Now that you've introduced this Back to the Future element, I can only call him Marty. Morty literally loses, like, all control over his bodily functions at the end of the episode for, what, 72 hours? For his grandpa's science. And we don't even get to know what he ends up using those seeds for, right?
Well, and it's, I think Rick says, like, the seeds have dissolved inside you, so now we have to go back and get more.
Oh,
so
yeah, we have to go back and get more, that's right.
So killing all the people that they did and running away and you know, Morty breaking his legs and losing his brain function for 3 days is all for nothing.
It's for nothing, yeah. That kid getting frozen and dying. Oh, man, I love that kid. That is part of... Okay, well, do you want to go through the episode now?
Yes.
Now that we talked about the show. Okay, so we'll get there. Yeah, so we start off with the cold open of Rick pulling Morty out of bed and getting into this flying machine. Check out this flying machine. Cool, huh? I built it out of stuff I found in the garage. Yeah, and it never leads to anything, right? Neutrino bomb armed, and then we go into the opening titles, right?
I think in the opening sequence, they really are very quick to introduce Rick's alcoholism. Like, he wakes Morty up drunk. He's drinking while driving, and the moment he opens his door, literally, like, 50 beer cans fall out.
And then he passes out in the middle of his, we're not going to do it, speech, right?
Yeah. Thereby
There are.
accidentally arming the neutrino bomb.
That's right. There's a theories Reddit about Rick and Morty. There's a Reddit about Rick and Morty theories. Wow, I speak real good English. And one of them is that Rick is not actually drunk or drinking alcohol, that he has produced some kind of elixir that extends his life or makes him even smarter or something. There's no real evidence for that, though. Why do you think Rick drinks all the time?
I think he's at the point, given how much he doesn't care about anything and how much he also depends on alcohol, I think he's just at the point where anything will do. Like, do you know, have you ever seen Archer?
No.
Oh, okay. Very similarly irreverent TV show. It's an adult cartoon as well, but in it, one of the characters, I believe Mallory Archer is her name, straight up drinks isopropyl alcohol because it's the only thing available on a spacecraft to drink. And that's kind of where I feel like Rick is at.
Like his existential angst is so great that he's just drunk all the time.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that would be depressing as hell, man, to just know that if this Morty dies, I can just go get another one. There are no real consequences for anything except if you die. The only thing that would matter and change your existence is you dying, not anyone around you or losing any of your surroundings.
Yeah, which is why I watched, oh my gosh, I'm such a nerd. I watched an examination of the types of nihilism presented in Rick and Morty. And
Ooh, interesting.
yes. And one of the things that they said that fans had argued for Rick being, because they were trying to sort out what kind of a nihilist he is. And a lot of people were saying, oh, well, he's just a true, pure nihilist that nothing matters at all whatsoever. But if that's the case, then Rick would not try so hard to save his own life, in my
Yeah.
opinion.
He does have a strong self-preservation instinct, and we see that again and again and again because they almost die very often. And, other dimensional Ricks and Mortys do die very often.
Yes.
That's
And they were
interesting.
fun.
I didn't know there were different types of nihilists. Research that and come back next week and tell us more about that.
Okay.
Because that's interesting. All right, so no God Summer, rip that band-aid off now. I like that. It's casually said to in response to Summer being just groaning about, oh God, my parents, I want to die, right? Just being a really typical. This is interesting because you see the rest of the family, aside from Rick, seems just like kind of a normal, average, quote unquote, American TV family, right? It's a sitcom element. And then Rick is like really weird. And then we get further into the episode, and oh man, what's the mom's name? Why can't I remember anything?
Beth.
Beth, yeah, you made the shit out of those eggs, Beth, right? Like, she's also kind of weird. She's a horse heart surgeon. She's also really smart. So it's just Jerry and Summer who seem like kind of average. Nothing is too interesting about them,
Yeah.
people. School is not a place for smart people, Jerry. That is
Ooh.
like the unschooling theme. All of these, have you heard of unschooling?
I have not.
Oh, it's a really stupid thing that a lot of people do. They take their kids out of school and they don't even homeschool them. They call it unschooling. They just like, they'll learn everything they need to know by exploring their interests. Like, I don't think they're going to learn calculus by exploring their interests, you know?
You know, I think I knew a family who did that once, and they had a child who was sixth grade age and still could not read.
Yeah, I know some people like that who actually are homeschooling, I think, actually use some kind of curriculum, and their kids all test really far behind. Anyway, so this is the podcast where we really rip on homeschoolers. It
Oh.
works for some people. Unschooling is stupid, though. I do not respect that.
Yeah, I think I don't know. That quote is always super interesting to me because I think to an extent he has a point. I don't think that the point is to not learn anything at all ever and somehow you'll miraculously pick up everything you'll ever need to know by the time you're 18 or you know, on track with your peers. But I think, I mean, the way that he describes education, where it's, oh, I don't know, kind of all these kids stuck in a room having to learn formulaic curriculums that may or may not be relevant, that they may or may not understand, but everyone's supposed to all learn the same thing is a little ineffective. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe the, I guess what makes sense to me is that you can't learn everything in school. Like, he does teach Morty some things, but also that there are some aspects of like institutionalized public education that are not very helpful. Like, you get a piece of paper that says you can go poop or whatever. That's what he says in the show. And yeah.
Yeah. So I guess it's more
That's
about the way it's run than like what's taught.
maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. That's interesting. You made the crap out of those eggs, Beth. That reminded me of my dad. Like, he's this really like weird, you know, sometimes kind of like brusque person. He's really funny, but he really cares about the people he loves, and he really doesn't care about a lot of other people. It's not like, you know, sees a celebrity died and he's like, oh, that's too bad. He's like, well, I didn't know him, you know. But he's always so sweet to me. My dad, he's always texting me like, I'm so proud of you, when I like send him a picture. Like, even like when I send him a picture of something I've cooked, he's like, I'm so proud of you. You're an amazing cook. Thanks, Dad. I'm definitely the Beth to my father's Rick sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like in Morty's boob fantasy with Jessica. She's like, do you know what I want you to do to them? Rename them?
All that part was so good.
That's very flattering and kind of weird.
Like, even Morty's own brain is a little skeptical of the world where he's like his fantasy, but he's still, what do you want me to do? Rename them because it's a little weird that they're named after me.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Morty is not as stupid as he seems in the pilot. We get
No.
hints of, as he becomes more cynical and less naive, we
Oh,
see
I
that
think,
he's maybe smarter.
yeah, I think that's really the difference, like that's sort of his character arc, and I don't know that it was intention. Well, I say that, but yeah, Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland are really smart about the show, so I could be wrong, but his whole character arc throughout the series so far has just been him losing his naivete, like just he does seem super gullible and kind of dumb in the first episode, and then eventually at one point, I mean, he's telling Summer the exact same things that Rick would say to her, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like, later in some episode, he tells Summer something like, you know, this all ends up in death, but it's okay. You can still be happy. Something like that. That's a very Rick thing to say. Rick says a lot of interesting things to Morty in an attempt to manipulate him, right? Like, he gives him this talk about when they're on the planet with the mega trees that look like big penises. You know, he gives him the speech about how, you know, there are scary things, but you have to do it anyway. And he's just talking about getting these seeds, right, and putting them up Morty's butt. But it really hits home for Morty But it does he really care? Does Rick really care about Morty, or is he just a tool?
Ooh, that's a good question, because a lot of the time you find out Rick's motives after the fact of whatever he does. However, he does some selfless things sometimes. So I've gone back and forth between wondering, okay, has Rick been manipulating Morty and the whole family, or is he explaining away the selfless acts that he's done for them because he doesn't want anyone to think he's weak or cares about anyone?
I don't know if I think that those things are mutually exclusive. I think he is always manipulating the family, but that there's a possibility that he also cares about them. I'm not going to go so far as to say he does care about them. I think there's a possibility, or that maybe he grows to care for them after this long absence and moving back into the household. Maybe he grows. Maybe his love for them grows. But I think he's always manipulating them. I think you can love somebody and be manipulating them. I think we've all been on the receiving end of that at some point, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I don't know. That's definitely a later in the season kind of talk, is delving into that, because there's more specific instances of that, I think, in the later seasons. Where they show
Yeah.
both sides.
I'm going to remember that and try and find some evidence for Rick actually caring about Morty. What's the bully's name? I can't remember. Frank something, right?
Yeah, Frank, I don't he something that really implies that he's a greaser, because that's exactly what he looks like.
Yeah, exactly. But I really like that he comes after Morty with the knife. And in perfect self-referential Dan Harmon style, he's like, "Are you trying to say my family's poor?" And he's like, "My family's rich." It's very good. It's excellent. Yes, that's what that character means when he says these other things. But Dan Harmon's characters just say the thing. And similarly, Morty is very good at expressing his emotions. When they first go to this other dimension, he's like, "There's a lot here, and I'm getting a little anxious." Like, what kid actually says those things? They'll express it in other shitty ways, but like, Morty is pretty, he can express himself.
Yeah, he really, I think it gets lost sometimes in his little, I don't know, ramble banter with Rick, where they both just kind of say whatever they're thinking at the exact same time. But yeah, he says a lot of things that are kind of that, like, he doesn't hold anything back. I noticed that too.
Yeah, sometimes they both are like monologuing alongside each other. It's a dialogue composed of two monologues. That happens a lot. I like that.
Yeah, though it's very funny. I think it says a lot about their characters too, but it also makes it really easy to imitate them.
Yes. Yeah. Smell that, Morty? That's the smell of a whole different evolutionary timeline.
Oh gosh. Oh, this, what a good show.
What a good show. And then the principal calls Beth. "Hello, Principal Vagina. No relation." He is not related to any vagina. That's just his last name. It's not his family. He comes from a long line of vagina smiths.
Oh my gosh.
I guess every woman who has a daughter is a vagina smith.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I never thought about it that way.
No relation. Yeah.
Oh,
That's Phil Hendry. Have you heard Phil Hendry's radio show?
I haven't. I've heard of him. I don't know any of his work.
Yeah, he's been a radio host for like 30 years or something. And he'll have these discussions. He'll have these arguments with like, creationists and like racist. There's like I think he has like a racist black woman figure and like a gay journalist, and but he it's him imitating. It's him. He's the interviewee and the interviewer. And some of them are kind of cringy, but most of them land pretty well. He's a funny guy.
Okay. That's
All right.
it. Oh, yep. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all. I was just like, it's an aside. Phil Hendry. He's kind of an old dude. All right. Make a tree penises. They do look like giant penises.
Yes. The show uses a lot of for how meta and like just how, I don't know, almost, I don't want to say highbrow, but very like cerebral the humor in it is. It uses a lot of fart jokes and burp jokes, and it makes a lot of things just look sound like farts and look like butts and penises, and it's funny.
Yeah, well, the Rick's speech is frequently interrupted by burps, right?
His burp talking.
Yeah, I can't imitate it. I've read some article about this show, and the guy was like, "I almost stopped watching because listening to the burp sounds made me physically nauseated."
I am gonna be honest, I did too. That and I mean, you probably, I'm sure you already know this, but I, the only thing in this
The
world that disgusts
drool.
me is spit. Yes. So
Yes.
watching him always have drool on his face took some getting used to.
It's the only thing that grosses you out is saliva.
And there's so much of it.
There's so much of it, but it's animated saliva that it can
But
be pretty gross.
it's the thought.
It's all right, you have to shove it way up your butt, Morty.
Oh
Your
boy.
taut yet malleable anal cavity.
And I can't do it up mine because it'll fall straight out. I've done this too many times.
This tiny little skinny person, but with a really loose rectum. It's just flapping in the breeze.
Oh my God.
There's a lot of death in this episode after they get to customs, and he's like, we random spot check. We got a new machine that detects stuff way up your butt.
Oh
The exact phrase he uses to get Morty. And Morty comes out of the bathroom and he's kind of like walking, like he was just riding a horse, you know? Like, ugh.
yeah.
Yeah.
Like clearly we know what just happened.
What's your favorite part of this episode? Has it happened yet? Because we're just about to get to my favorite part of this episode.
I mean, I like all of it, but gosh, so much of it's so funny. I don't know. Continue on with your favorite part.
My favorite part is when they're running and Morty inhales some like alien vapor of some kind and coughs up an infant alien, and you see it age, like it's a complete life cycle, like in 2 seconds, right? And it dies. And Morty is horrified, and Rick's like, just don't think about keeps running. It's a lot of death. Oh, and Morty's shooting the flying, like they look like flies, right? These gigantic fly aliens. And he's shooting them. And what does Rick say? They're just robots. It doesn't matter. He
It's
shoots him. He's
okay.
like, oh, somebody call his wife and family.
Yeah, he's bleeding to death.
He's like,
And then,
that's a. I thought you said they're robots. They're not robots. It's a figure of speech, Morty. They're bureaucrats. I don't respect them.
oh boy. Yeah, it's really, you don't expect it to go that hard that quick. Like it just changes from so fast to them murdering a bunch of aliens.
Yeah, it goes from like kind of a romp into something much darker. And it's all, you're right, it's all for naught because they dissolved in his butt and now they have to go get more. Is Rick a libertarian or an anarchist? He doesn't respect bureaucracy or bureaucrats.
Ooh, that's an ex. I mean, not to peek too far ahead into this series, but this Rick and other Ricks are have different views. Like The other Ricks hate government so much that they form their own government to protect themselves against other governments. But
Oh,
the Rick,
yeah.
yeah, but the Rick that the show follows hates government so much more that not only is he listed as one of like the fourth most dangerous Rick out of all of the infinite number of Ricks, he won't join the Rick government to protect themselves from other governments.
That's right. And then they, yeah, well, that's further along in the show. Yeah. So he can, he, it's not, so he's not even a libertarian. He doesn't want any government. He doesn't want any structure or rules.
I think maybe it's one of those things where he's okay with government as long as it doesn't apply to him. He thinks that he's ex should be exempt because of his because he's exempt from the laws of time and the laws of causality and even the laws of physics, like because of his inventions. So why would he obey laws that some people who he can replace in an infinite universe create? Like why would he subscribe to those?
And he considers himself the smartest, not just genius, but like the most genius. He is smarter than literally everyone around him, right? And so the rules shouldn't apply to him because he's too smart to have those rules apply to him,
He thinks he's smarter
right?
than other Ricks, yeah.
Right, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. That line earlier, the smell of a whole different evolutionary timeline, that idea of the different ways Ricks evolve, right? That comes to a head with all of the Ricks compiled in one room.
Yes. I don't
So
know.
when you're leaping into another dimension to replace your family after you stranded them on a planet that you turned into like a zombie wasteland, you have to pick the right ones. You can't just go and pick any other copy of your family in any other dimension. You'd have to pick the ones with at least with a similar evolutionary timeline as yours, so the differences aren't too noticeable, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think in that one where they do replace themselves, it's literally what would have happened if they hadn't gone on or they hadn't decided to do the thing that I don't know. I don't know if we're going to talk about this later, but they hadn't essentially ended the world and they'd done what they originally wanted, except that that thing kills the other Rick and Morty and they just replace them.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Yeah,
I
so
forgot about that.
it would have been nearly up till the moment that led to them messing everything up. So not only did they replace them in their exact in the exact way that their family evolved, they replaced them so that they undid their mistake.
Yeah, okay. So the rules of causality really don't apply to Rick. Not
No.
very often, anyway.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
It is crazy. Nothing matters. The only thing you need to do is keep yourself alive. Everything else can be fixed in some horrific, unimaginable way, right?
Yeah,
Then they
pretty much.
get back and yeah, he's like Jerry's like they've got the moving truck. They're gonna ship Rick off to a retirement home. And Jerry's giving the speech about how Morty's the last person who should be missing school. He's like, "What are you trying to say, Jerry?" He's like, "You want me to just say it? He has like a learning disability or something." And here's Morty being really emotionally on point and very in touch with himself. He says, "That's a lot to drop on a kid all at once." He's really good. He knows. He doesn't just like throw a fit or something. Like even older kids, teenagers throw different kinds of fits in a way. But he just perfectly articulates his feelings. That's a lot to drop on a kid all at once. It's a very adult way of expressing yourself, Morty.
Yeah, he doesn't have Rick's academic intelligence. I mean, he does temporarily at that moment in the episode, but like he has emotional intelligence that I don't think any of the rest of his family are really capable of.
Yeah, who I don't I think you're right. I
Yeah,
mean,
and
Beth is more emotionally intelligent than Jerry, right?
who's Dumb as a box of rocks.
And Jerry telling him he has a learning disorder. I do. And he says very kindly, well, da doy, son. Well, da doy, son.
Oh my gosh. I love, oh, do you know that voice actor? That's Chris Parnell who voices Jerry.
Yeah, he was on
Yeah.
SNL, right?
And he actually is in the show I mentioned earlier, Archer. He's one of the main characters where he also plays a guy who gets shit on all the time.
He's typecast
Yeah.
in these animated sitcoms as the guy he gets shit on all the time. He's very good at it.
Yeah.
Beth is so much smarter than him. They're like when he goes, when when Rick gives the speech about, this is your house, Jerry. You're a real Julius Caesar. Jerry and Beth go off. This could be good. And he's like, if you'll have me, well, I'd like to have you. And Beth is like, why not? Sure. Like, this is this crazy thing. Their marriage is obviously doomed. It's never going to be okay.
Yeah, like she literally talks to him like he's I don't know. I felt like she says that as though he's like a bro, like, sure, why not?
Yeah, like, this never happens. And it's like, well, oh, well, you know what? Oh, sure, why not? Like, oh, we're celebrating. Let's do something really extra and actually engage in marital congress.
Yeah.
Oh,
Oh,
boy.
boy.
So many good lines. You see why people love this show. It's very quotable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in a way where like the quotes are hilarious but actually significant because they explain so much about the characters. Like they're not just funny lines of dialogue. They explain so much about the characters, or they explain, metaphysical nihilistic philosophy to you, but while making a joke about, I don't know, farts or something.
Yes, and that's why it's so effective. Oh man, it is nihilism for dummies, right? We
Yes,
very
that's
much understand what Rick is saying. We understand it because he puts it in terms we understand. We're talking about death and farts, you know?
yeah.
It makes sense.
Well, and it also I you'll have to forgive me because I've been talking a lot of philosophy with my nerd political science major friends. But we were talking about nihilism the other day. And they were talking about, all the classic nihilists. Of course, Nietzsche was the one that we all ended up talking about. And I was like, wow, this is stuff that if none of us knew what the other people were talking about, like even to some small degree, no one would understand, like what is the Übermensch? Like any of the context. But Rick puts it in a way that anyone can understand because everyone can laugh at fart jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone can laugh about the scary situation of putting a big giant seat up your butt and just pushing through because that's how you explore the world and learn about new things.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah.
If nothing really matters, then why sugarcoat nihilism, if you want to put it that way, why sugarcoat it with all this fancy academic, very convoluted, I don't know, incredibly thoughtful stuff. Why sort of pad it with that so that it becomes a hard concept to reach? No, nothing matters. So why would you make nihilism seem, like some grandiose philosophy? Why not just make it what it is, which is no one cares about anything, so why would we care about making it look good? Let's throw in a joke about Morty shoving seeds up his butt,
Yeah, exactly. Nothing is sacred, right? Nothing matters. Not even this. Not
Yes.
even this idea is sacred.
This
So, yeah.
show is so good at exploring nihilism. That's like my favorite life philosophy too. So I'm a real nerd about Rick and Morty.
Oh man, it's a really interesting philosophy. When I get into a depression, I'm very nihilistic. Like last summer, last August, I went into like I sometimes get these weird like summer depressions. But then I'm like, the sun doesn't matter. My plants don't matter. Everything's gonna end in death. I'm not even gonna water my plants. The sun is just gonna take the water. It's not great, you know?
Yeah.
But
But it
nihilism
is
is
that.
very accessible to those of us with mental illness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
That's a whole other line of talk for the show too, 'cause I mean Rick is a depressed alcoholic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is. Does he care about Beth? We need to collect evidence for
Yeah.
this case. Either he does care about these people or he doesn't. He doesn't care about Jerry at all, right?
No.
I don't think he ever shows evidence for that.
I have strong evidence that he cares for Morty. But I'm gonna have to think about the others.
I think he cares more about Morty than anybody else, but I think he does also care about Beth and Summer. I don't think he cares about Jerry. Let's look for answers to this.
No. Okay.
'Cause Jerry's just like a stupid piece of garbage. He just doesn't care about him. There's no like even basic, there's nothing redeeming about Jerry. He's not emotionally intelligent. He's not academically intelligent, right? He's just always talking about killing himself. Oh, poor Jerry.
He's not even cool, though.
I know he's not cool. Like, we don't care about him. Horse heart surgeon. By the way, if you ever have an affair with that guy, I'm gonna come into the hotel room and kill myself and blow my brains out all over the two of you.
My gosh.
That's the show.
He just sort of chucks it in. By the way, because we're fighting, if you ever have an affair with that guy.
Oh man, you hate that guy though, right?
Jerry or the guy, the
The other guy, the like tan, muscular with the blonde swept back hair guy.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Luckily,
He
he
like
doesn't.
has yeah, he doesn't stick around long, but he's the kind of guy who has like dream catchers and wind chimes and a lot of house plants, you know?
Yeah. Oh.
Ugh. Yuck.
My gosh. Probably started an extra on some like early 2000s soap opera.
Yeah. Or was a regular on like a regular extra on Disney Channel original movies, right? It's
Yeah.
like a good looking background guy.
Really greets you
Well,
during the day and asks you if your chakras
ew. Or he
are
comes up and just puts his hand on your chest and says, "I could feel that your boob chakras were out of alignment."
aligned.
We
Yikes.
just re what do you want? What do you think I want you to do to them? Rename them.
That's gonna be my favorite part. That is my favorite part.
That's your favorite part. Okay. Oh yeah, all right. Favorite parts of the episode. That's yours. Rename them. Mine is just don't think about it. Oh my God.
Oh, all good.
Okay, but that reminds me of like you watch The Good Place, right?
I don't.
You don't watch The Good Place?
I know everyone says that. I know of it from our other sibling, but I've been forced to watch the first couple episodes. But
It's not your
yeah,
thing.
no.
So that's too bad. I really love The Good Place. But one of the issues that comes up in everybody getting sent to the bad place instead of the good place is it seems much harder to be a good person now because like even if you try and do a good thing, there are so many unintended consequences, right? Like you can try and buy a shirt made in the US in like a factory that is very safe with good labor practices, right? And you think you're doing a good thing, but then the actual material for the shirts that were made were like, made in like Sri Lanka by 12-year-olds who, instead of getting like money or food or bedding, they just get whipped all day, right? But you might not know that because you thought you did a good thing, right? That kind of reminds me of the just don't think about it. Like, we're constantly making these choices with ramifications we don't understand, or like supporting things that we don't even know we're supporting. We're kind of like Morty creating that alien fume baby. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a comparison I would never have drawn, but you're absolutely right because it is an unintended consequence. And it wasn't even like he made the choice to inhale that. That was just pure accident, and then
Yeah.
in doing so, he kills, in a way, this creature.
He creates and kills this creature. He creates this creature just to be murdered, to die. Yeah. All right. That's my favorite part. How sad. We end the episode with Morty convulsing on the garage floor and Rick just over and over saying, "It's Rick and Morty, Morty and Rick, Rick and Morty, Morty and Rick, 100 years, 100 days." What does he say? He keeps saying this over and over, right?
Rick and Morty and Rick and Rick and forever Rick and Morty. And he like goes off and he's like www.rickandmorty.com.www. Rick and Rick and Morty and Rick and dot com.
I mean, okay, so I thought that meant that there would be 100 episodes, but I don't know if that's true, because I know that there are at least 70 more. They're contracted for 70 more episodes. There are 3 seasons in, right? How many episodes are there already? I don't know. I think there are at least 11 in one of the seasons, so there will be more than 100 episodes, right? But maybe they didn't know that. They didn't know that going into the series. But the reason I think that is because in Community, Dan Harmon's other show, there's a lot of reference to how long the series will last within the show. Like, there's the hashtag pops up all the time, like 6 seasons in a movie, and the character Abed constantly makes references to like their show being canceled or something in a way that the other characters brush off because it doesn't make sense. He's breaking the fourth wall without, he's not even breaking the fourth wall. He's just viewing their situation as within the what framework of a TV show, right? He's viewing it that way, and so he makes those references a lot, which are obviously Dan Harmon making those references. So that's why I thought maybe that would mean 100 episodes. I want to look for more things like that from Dan Harmon in this series. I love Dan Harmon. What a weirdo. Have you watched any of the documentary about him, Harmontown?
I haven't. I've heard of it. I don't know where to find it.
I've just watched clips from it on YouTube, but like, he's notoriously difficult to work with and a perfectionist, but is not great at articulating his needs and wants, I guess. And so he kind of blows up at people because they're not fulfilling those expectations. Like, a very difficult person to work with, which also makes me think you were talking about the evolution of Morty and, his what the seeming rise of his intellect through the series, and how that maybe that wasn't intentional. I think everything in this show is intentionally created and placed and given to us where it is, don't you think? But those two creators, it has to be.
Yeah, it's got to be just they're too clever for it to have just been accidental throughout the process of their writing.
Yeah, man. Well, sweet sister, we're 46 minutes in plus our first aborted attempts.
Oof.
What else should we say about the show before we wrap up?
It's not available on Netflix, but I think it's available on Hulu. Definitely go watch it if you can.
Yeah, I'm watching it on Hulu. Are you watching it on something else?
Possibly.
Okay. All right. That's all right. Yeah, watch it on Hulu. You can get a free month or week or something. It's really worth it. It's so good. Or get it from your library or something. Or have watched it and just be listening to this.
Yes.
Just be listening to it now. That's very difficult to fulfill that expectation. Yeah.
Retroactively go back and watch it. Yes.
Hello,
Hello?
Madeline.
Yes.
Hello?
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 Oh, this is a part I'm gonna edit out. It's the part where I accidentally turn the volume all the way down.
Oh
Oh no. All
no.
right. Well, this has been lovely. If you have any questions or you want to leave us some feedback, you can do so at iturnedouttvpodcast@gmail.com. Maddie?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I've already said my piece. Go watch the show, and leave us a message. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.